I think I remember that's where Kevin puts that. I don't know. Oh, it's so good to be with you again. I was here, probably some of you are like, again? You were probably on vacation in July when Kevin gave me the opportunity to be with you guys. And I am excited to be here. I'm looking forward to this morning. Excited that we're going to get to hang out with Jesus and some Samaritans. And I'm especially excited because I think that what he does with them is something he wants to do with us. So it's going to be good. I guess I should open my notes and remind myself what we're talking about here. The question for you, what is the first thing you notice when you meet somebody? Is it their smile, their physique, their shoes? What are you looking for when you meet somebody? Are you looking for trustworthiness? Are you looking for resources? Are you looking for someone who's going to be kind, who's going to accept you? I have a confession. We talked about it just a second ago with the kids. I judge people. On my good days, I'm looking for greatness in them. On my not so good days, I'm dismissing them because I don't see any value add to my life from them. And some days are like that, you know? I was raised not to be prejudiced, not to exclude people. I was raised to respect everybody. And somewhere along the way, I decided that the respect that I was going to give people was what they could add to my life. I respect people that have achieved more than me. I'm an achiever. I like to make things perfect. And so it's super easy for me to respect somebody that's better than me. And this has served me pretty well. You know, when I was riding bikes, I had a buddy named Steve. He had a nicer bike than me. He was better at doing tricks than me. And I loved hanging out with Steve because there was a value add. He was going to drag me up. Doreen, my lovely bride, her heart for God is more beautiful than anybody I've ever met. Her way with kids is phenomenal. I knew, like, this is somebody I want to spend the rest of my life with. And then as I knew her a little bit more, I realized she's really, really good with people with special needs. Kevin, I have such a great friendship with your pastor, Kevin, because I respect and value his ministry and his life of ministry, the way he's kept at it, and it's such a blessing to you guys. My best friend, Dustin, starting in junior high. He's part of my fan club. So glad that you guys are here. he was always ahead of me on bikes. He was ahead of me in RC cars. He was ahead of me on fixing up his car. He was ahead of me on fixing up his house. He was ahead of me in business. He's always been ahead of me, and I've always looked up to him, and he's an awesome guy. And then he brings his significant other, Debbie, into our lives, and she is absolutely extraordinary at managing people and bringing out greatness in them. And she is so committed to personal growth, especially in her career. My career as a contractor, I've crested, I'm waning. She's like on the up and up. She's still climbing. She's getting better every day at what she does. So I love hanging out with her. So here's the deal. It's easy for me to brag about the people that I'm in a relationship with. But you know, the guy that cut me off on the freeway, there's no value add there. He's just worthless. And the person who, you know, is economically challenged, well, you know, there's no value add there. So I dismiss people. That's my confession. And I think that God has something for me. I need the sermon. I really need this sermon. And maybe it'll bless you too. But here's the deal. God has an invitation for me, and hopefully for you. Wake up. Look around. See what I have done and am doing in people's lives. Everybody is better than me in some way. Everybody is better than you in some way. Because God is at work in their lives. And when we celebrate what God is doing in our lives together, there is going to be great rejoicing. Okay, so that's the sermon. Where did it come from? We're in this series on John, and last week Kevin introduced us to the woman at the well, and he offers her living water and representing the Holy Spirit, and we spent the whole morning celebrating the Holy Spirit and the living water that he is in our lives. The woman is invited. Jesus is talking to her. She's invited to worship in spirit and in truth, to include along with the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit in her worship of the triune God. And she says, dude, you're confusing me. I know when the Messiah comes, he's gonna help us out and we're gonna understand. And Jesus says in this like mic drop moment, I am he. And great, great week last week. But we got something more this week. Part two. Okay. John chapter 4, we're going to pick up at verse 27, on page 863 in your pew Bible, if you want to read along there. I'm going to read from the New Living Translation. Somebody asked me last time I was here what translation I use. I like the New Living. I don't know, it just feels fresh. I grew up in church, and the New Living is, I don't know, newer. I like it. Anyway, so here we go. Verse 27, just then, his disciples came back. They were shocked to find him talking to a woman, but none of them have the nerve to ask, what do you want with her? Why are you talking to her? The woman left her jar beside the well, ran back to the village, telling everyone, come and see a man who told me everything I ever did. Could he possibly be the Messiah? So the people came streaming from the village to see him. Now, I love the language here. Last week, Kevin reminded us that Jesus is offering her living water. This is water that's moving. And so there's all this movement going on. She's running back to the village. People are streaming out to see him. I don't know if that's really in the Greek. You'll have to talk to Kevin. He's better at Greek than me. But it's just beautiful. So everybody's got questions. Questions, questions, questions. And that's a great place to start, I think. The disciples were afraid to question the status quo. When we get started in our relationship with the woman here, there's some questioning about her story. And she leads the people of her village, in questioning who Jesus might be. The thing that I think is interesting is that in my experience, judging books by their cover, it's really easy for me to look at somebody and assume that I know what God wants to do in their life, to assume I know what they need. And we're going to find out in just a minute that God's already up to something. He's already doing something. And if I could let go of my agenda for people and join him, maybe things would work out a little bit better. So what if sharing Christ is more about being curious and listening than about preaching, says the guy who's preaching today. The question in the Voices video, who is Christ to you? Rather than telling people who they think Jesus should be, what if we just listened? What could happen? I'm curious. Let's see. Let's see what happens here. Back to John, verse 31. Meanwhile, the disciples were urging Jesus, "Rabbi, eat something." But Jesus replied, "I have a kind of food you know nothing about." "Did someone bring him food while we were gone?" the disciples asked each other. Then Jesus explained, "My nourishment comes from doing the will of God who sent me and from finishing his work. You know the saying, 4 months between planting and harvest, but I say, wake up, look around. The fields are already ripe for harvest. The harvesters are paid good wages, and the fruit they harvest is people brought to eternal life. What joy awaits both the planter and the harvester alike? You know the saying, one plants, the other harvests, and it's true. I sent you to harvest where you didn't plant. Others had already done the work, and now you will get to gather the harvest." This is interesting. Jesus is preparing them, because they're about to spend a couple days in a Samaritan village. Kevin reminded us last week that that's not the people that we associate with if we're Jewish. And then a few weeks ago, Kevin preached on a passage from John that talked about Jesus baptizing more people than John. And it was actually Jesus' disciples that were baptizing. So Jesus, this is like something I just realized because Kevin asked me to speak on this passage and follow him up, that there's not all these stories about the disciples and Jesus baptizing all these people. It's like, but it's between the lines because he's there. They're baptizing more people than John. So people are getting baptized by Jesus and his disciples. And so Jesus is preparing his disciples. We're going to go into the Samaritan village. Not only are these people people that you aren't down with associating with usually, you're going to be baptizing some people. And it's not because of what you did. It's because of what God has been busy about in their lives. So, Jesus is acting strange. They're like, "You need to eat, dude." And I've got food. I'm taken care of. And there is a beautiful thing that God does. The satisfaction that comes from work is not something to feel bad about. It's something to celebrate. It's a gift from God. And specifically, the satisfaction from spiritual work, when you get to rejoice with somebody that a life has changed, a life is made whole, a life is made new, eternal life comes to somebody, oh, that's good. That's good stuff. That is not something to say like, "Oh, well, I don't want to be selfish. I don't make it about me." Like, God's like, "I want to bless you." So receive it, celebrate it. So the sower and the reaper rejoice together. Here comes the rejoicing, picking up at verse 39. Many Samaritans from the village believed in Jesus because the woman had said, "He told me everything I ever did." When they came out to see him, they begged him to stay in their village. So he stayed with them 2 days. Long enough for many more to hear his message and believe. Then they said to the woman, "Now we believe, not just because of what you told us, but because we have heard him ourselves. Now we know that he is indeed the Savior of the world." It's another mic drop moment. This woman's town, comes to the conviction that Jesus is the Savior of the world. Man, so good. So rejoice. Rejoice in what Jesus has done in your life. Rejoice in what Jesus is saying. Now, this is very interesting. I'm like, how do we get this? She said, the people say, now we believe not just because of what you told us, but because we have heard him speak for ourselves. I want that. I'm excited about that possibility, that people in my life, maybe people that I'm inclined to dismiss, hear from God. And according to what Jesus said about sowing and reaping, he wants to bless me through what God is doing in their life. That this changes the way we see people. This changes the way I can see people. Rather than looking for value, there's value assumed. But what if the first question I asked myself when I met somebody is, what is God doing in their life? Because according to this, according to Jesus, he's already up to something. He doesn't need us to show up and bring God to them. God's already with them, working in their lives, and we can join him. So, what's God doing? What's God saying? And just imagine with me for a second the beauty of someone you know, someone you've known for a long time, or maybe somebody you've just met, saying, now I believe, not just because of what you told me, but because I have heard Jesus for myself. Now I know that he is indeed the Savior of the world. Rich, 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 rich stuff. So here's the deal. Here's where we conclude. You will never lock eyes with someone in whom God is not already at work. About 20 years ago, I was working with a church, and we were attempting to plant a church in a mall. And that was, a great time. Didn't end up the way I thought it was going to, but really good season. One of the first things we did in the mall was prayer walking. And I don't know if you know what prayer walking is, but probably some of you are better at it than me. But basically, it's you walk, and you look around and you thank God for what you see him doing, and you ask him to bless the people and the places that you see. It's pretty simple. So we're prayer walking in the mall. We had a group of people that came with us. One of the gals that was there was this gal, Vanessa. She was a worship leader at the church that was sponsoring our church plant. And I sent people out with this question when they went out to pray. What would it look like if God showed up here? So we went out and we prayed. What would it look like if God would show up here? If God showed up here? And we came back and we gathered around and we were sharing our experience. And she leans in and her eyes get really wide and her smile gets really broad. And she says, he's already here. So 20 years later, I'm still trying to learn that. That it's not about what does God want to do in somebody's life. It's about what is he already doing and how can I join him. If I'm just willing to spend a couple days, if I'm just willing to ask questions, if I'm just willing to gather with them, oh, there is going to be great rejoicing. Lord Jesus, we love you, and we are so excited that you decided to begin work in us before we knew it. And Lord Jesus, give us eyes to see your work in others. God, I confess, I am sometimes blind. I can't see it, and I need you to do a supernatural work in my heart, Holy Spirit, so that I can see what you're doing, and I can celebrate it, and I can join you. In Jesus' name.